League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchek, and we're here to discuss our film review of the Green Bay Packers' 30-7 preseason finale win over the Baltimore Ravens at Lambeau Field. And Eric, there are two big subjects that seem to be on everybody's mind who follows this team, and that's backup quarterback and kicker. Which one of those you want to dive into first?
Oh, God, two, you know, I suppose we could do my least favorite, and that is kicker. You know, I you know how I feel about kickers, and it's unfortunate that we have to waste any time speaking about those guys.
I know how you feel, but you got to have them. They put points on the board.
I know, but I would respect them much more if they wore a single bar, you know, the old Jan Stenerud face mask, and maybe no pads. I think maybe I'd respect them a little bit more. Maybe go through a tackling drill once in a while. You know, Jesus, I tell you that one tackle that Joseph got into made me cringe. I started swearing, and the whole house had to listen to my rant about his hip check tackle after he kicked the field goal on the ensuing kickoff. Oh my God!
In his defense, you don't want a kicker getting hurt making a tackle in a preseason.
Then go back and play soccer.
Do you want him? Do you want your kicker on the field, or do you want him on IR to start the season?
Oh, for God's sakes! They're not football players. I know you got to have them. They're the foot in football, right? So that's kind of the deal, you know. And I understand you got to have them. They're points. I guess I'm kind of in the mode of Dan Campbell. Let's go for two, you know. So anyways, I digress. But the reality is this is, you know, going into that game, Pete, they had those two kickers knew what it was at stake. And while neither one of them really shone – you know, they didn't really see, no one like ran away with it during practice and then the preseason. It wasn't like, this is the guy, right? But last year in San Francisco, you know, Carlson missed a kick in the game that was troublesome. Also, you know, what was his percentage last year on field goals? 82?
Yeah. Nothing like, really. 81.8. Yeah. The problem was the bigger problem was he missed five extra points. That was
right.
Six if you count the playoffs.
And so coming into that ball game, both those guys knew what was at stake. So it was kind of a pressure cooker for both of them. And, you know, it's not a playoff situation, but it's more might even be more pressure because it was for a job.
Yeah.
You know, so they were kicking for jobs, and they had an extra point field goal miss. You know, 32 yards, and he missed it. Wide right, like everything else he misses. So, you know, Carlson really, he shrunk. And I guess, you know, the one thing you got to say about quick kickers is, you know, they got to be mentally tough. And I think of the two of them in that situation, when they're both got goosebumps, Joseph stepped up, hit two field goals. You know, I guess I got to tip my hat to Joseph and say, you know what, you're the guy at this point in time, unless there's some miraculous – guy out there that either you get on a trade wire, start trading people, or, you know, just wait for someone to get cut and bring them in as a practice squad player and let them duel it out in practice. I don't know what else to do, but I guess Joseph at this point in time is the horse you got to back.
I saw every kick both those guys took, in training camp. And, Joseph, to me, looks like his leg is 3 to 5 yards longer than Carlson's. That'd be my best guess.
So he walks with a limp? Kind of like a peg leg. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think he kicks the ball.
I know.
And so, you know, that would give him a slight edge. You know, the Packers stuck with Carlson last year because they really liked his mental makeup. I'm guessing that's mostly Bisaccia driven, because Bisaccia had his brother and he knew Anders also. And maybe that's what he liked about the brother, who's now become a really good kicker.
Maybe they
still like his mental makeup more. I don't know.
And maybe they stick with him. I mean, heck, you know, Mason Crosby had a couple of years that weren't exactly stellar, and they stuck with him. You know, maybe that's it. Maybe, you know, because we don't know what's going on outside other than what we see on the screen or at practice, right? So yep. Maybe there's some stuff there that, you know, we don't know, and maybe they feel really strongly that this guy is going to be really good. And you just got to let them – it's like any other player, right? But I just feel like at this point in time – I mean, just like backup quarterback, you know, it's go time now. You know, everybody kind of thought that this would be the year that they would be, you know, make the move up the ladder. And, surprising to probably even them, it happened last year. And now I think it's, you know, your sights are set a little higher. It isn't just to get in the tournament. It's to go there and win it and at least get very close. Let's just get to the game. And I think, you know, those two spots, both kicker and backup quarterback, could be a sore spot for him. And hopefully that's not it doesn't come to that, but that's certainly something that could definitely be a comfort level for them.
Yeah, and, you know, LaFleur's post-game comments didn't bode great for either of them. Basically, on both positions, he said, you know, they've had their moments, but they've had, you know, their bad times too. And we'll see what, you know, is available out there is basically what he said for both positions. Now, when they take that look, they might not find anything they like that any better than what they've got. At kicker, I found two somewhat interesting guys, as I did some research on that today. One is with Tennessee. They got 39-year-old Nick Folk, who made 29 of 30 field goal attempts last year. His leg strength is starting to diminish. They're not a contender, really, probably. And they had an undrafted rookie, what's this guy's name, Narveson, who made a 59-yarder against Seattle, and in that same game hit a 46-yarder to win as time expired. He was only 21 for 28 in camp, according to the team's website, so that's only 75%. But he's got a really strong leg and some potential. So, you know, could Gutekunst get them to trade Folk if they feel good enough about Narveson, because, you know, they're looking down the road a year or two? Maybe. Might they bring in Narveson for a look if he gets cut? That's a possibility. Pittsburgh also has a second kicker. The guy's name is Matthew Wright, and he's kicked for four teams, 40 for 47 for his career, 85.1%. I looked this up. The average last year on field goals, the percentage, well, it was like 85.some%, 85.2%, something like that. So that's the average. And his career long is 59. He was 35 of 37 in his career in extra points. So Matthew Wright's his name again. So, you know, there's two guys that they might be at least inquiring about trading for. But, you know, I don't know that there's anything better out there for him or not.
Yeah, I know. And I just feel like we're wasting so much time talking about kickers. But unfortunately, that's where the Packers are. They got to look at that spot. Especially if they feel like, I mean, because how many playoff games are won by a kick? A lot. Yeah. You know, and you know, that's the difference between, you know, one score games and not. You got to be able to have a kicker that you can rely on. And more importantly, let's hit some extra points, right?
Yeah, well, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm trying to remember, if Carlson had made that fourth quarter kick against the 49ers, the Niners would have needed a touchdown to go ahead instead of a field goal at the end there, right?
Correct.
And So I think they got the touchdown, but then the Packers, I think, might have only needed a field goal to tie instead of needing a touchdown because of that missed field goal. So that was huge. I mean, that changed the fourth quarter.
Right. And you look at how it's going to, you know, you don't want that situation to happen again. So, you know, maybe do you feel like, hey, he's been there. Now it's time to get out there and get it done. So maybe you stick with him. But I just feel like the mental toughness part. You had both of them had similar kicks, 54 and 55, and then 32 and what was it? What did Joseph hit, a 34 yarder at the end?
Or 34 or 36, something like that.
Yeah. So both of them were similar kicks, and one made both, and the other one only made one. So, I think if I had to put my chips behind someone, it would be Joseph. He showed that he had the mental attitude to be able to go out there and set everything aside and just do his job.
I did a roster cut down for publication about a week and a half ago. I went with Joseph at that time just because I thought they were the same and his leg was a little stronger. And then right after that, he went in that funk where he missed a bunch of kicks. But then he seems to have kind of recovered himself in this last few days. So, it's a tough call. I don't know what they're going to end up doing. The one idea that we kick out here in our column is if I were them, I would seriously consider bringing in one of these other guys, either through a trade. It could be one of those trades like where you trade. I think they can get one of these guys. They don't even have to give up a full draft pick. You trade a six and get a seven in return, something like that, or a five and a six in return. So you don't lose a pick completely. You just move down in the draft to get the guy.
Right.
But I could see bringing the guy in, keeping them both on the roster for, at least up to the opener. And maybe you'd keep them both for a month and have them, just face each other off in practice every week, just like they did in camp, and maybe make a decision on one or the other a couple weeks, either before the first game or a couple weeks into the season. I mean, it's not the way you want to use a roster spot because you could end up getting a guy claimed, but I don't know. I would seriously consider doing that if I were them, carrying two for, a week, if not, two or three or even 4 weeks.
Heck, they've carried two punters before.
Oh, God, that was one of the biggest roster mishaps ever. Mike Sherman, wow.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was some good fodder for a while, boy.
I don't think either one of them was any good. I remember B.J. Sanders was one, and he didn't even stick in the league after the Packers dumped him.
No.
All right, so let's go to quarterback. First thing, let's just look at it. So let's just say they don't bring anybody in. There's not a ton out there, but let's just say they don't. So you got to go with either Clifford or Pratt. It was pretty close. Pratt started getting work with the twos in the last couple weeks. So they were splitting that. Who would you go with if it was one of those two?
I gotta go with Clifford. And the reason being is that, he's got a second year in the offense. It's hard for me to even get there, but as I'm going through this, I'm trying to process this in my head. There are some things there that you can get him to do, right? And some of the stuff, especially on Saturday, he did some things that were kind of probably out of the ordinary, that he's trying to win a job, so he probably did a few things that he wouldn't normally do in a regular season game. And I think you can bolt him down and say, listen, son, just stay within the offense. All we need you to do is do what you do in the offense. Don't try and hold the ball. If it ain't there, hit the check down. Because there were times where check down's open and he's running around, especially if he is in the game because Love is out injured. Now you're really hurting if he gets out. So you can't give yourself up on running around like an idiot. You got to just stand back there at the top of your drop, and if it isn't there, hit the check down and move on. We don't need you to make a bunch of plays. We got to
even on third down. Even if you're not going to get the first down,
just get it out of your hands. We're going to punt it away. But you got wide receivers that are talented. You got a tight end group that's pretty good, and you got a running back. Let those guys do their job. All you got to do is don't screw up, basically. And I think you could do that with him. Is it ideal? No, because you're going to get in a barred murder situation at some point. Or, I look at this from the point of view is what happens if your quarterback's out for 4 weeks? That could devastate your playoff chances completely if you come out of there 0-4. So you got to come out of that situation like that, 2-2. And so you have to ask yourself the question, can Pratt do it? I don't think so. I think the game is just too fast for him right now. He makes some beautiful throws. No question about it. But then he makes some humdingers. And it's like, wow. And it just He appears the game hasn't slowed down for him enough, and I would not feel comfortable having him as my backup quarterback in a situation like this. Now, last year is different. Last year, having a rookie, they had zero expectations, zero. They just wanted to go out there, give Love a run, you know, and hopefully hope for the best. You know, and now this year, the expectations are a little bit different. So I think you got to protect your number one quarterback. What the Packers got going for them is they got a guy who's young, he's very athletic. He's got very good feet and can avoid some of the big hits and doesn't do stupid stuff with the ball in his hand when he does cross the line of scrimmage. He's pretty good at getting down and getting out of bounds. And some of that's probably, you know, obviously was drilled into his head from their coaching staff. But I think they got to keep. So my long and short of it, I really like the fact that I would like it much better if they had a veteran guy who can come in and just understand that, you know what, you got a window of time here. You got 4 weeks, and you just can't get – we can't come out of this thing 0-4 because you're throwing picks all over the field. You got to run the system. I think it's a fairly quarterback-friendly system. They have guys open. There's play action pass. If the running game is working, it's a pretty friendly system. And just run the system, and you'll be okay. But if you are going to go out there and try to make plays and do a bunch of silly stuff, if you were that good where you're going to be making plays, you'd be the starter anyway. So just don't screw up. And where I like an old vet, that a cagey old vet that can come in there for four games and get it done. Now, hopefully they don't need that. Hopefully if they do have to do anything, it's just to finish up a game or maybe or two games. But 17 games is a long season. You know, there's very few running backs that are going to make it 17 games. And there's even, you know, quarterbacks are the same way. So I think it's really hard, and they're going to have to do a really good job. And then I think they got to protect them. So you're going to take some of your game away. So maybe, you know, you're not going to run a bunch of deep routes. Maybe everything's going to be short intermediate passes, a bunch of play action passes. But if they got the run game going, it makes it a lot easier. Yeah, so you know, they feel really good about their run game, then, you know, they can stick you back there to hand off.
Finding a guy on the street's going to be awful tough. We went looked through this list. The only viable guy that I see is Tannehill, and he's more than viable. I can't remember exactly. I think his overall record is like 82-70 or 92-80, which is pretty good. He was 3-5 for Tennessee last year. He's 36 years old. He's made $198 million. So he hasn't signed with anybody because he doesn't want to lock himself in as a backup for somebody and then have the guy play 17 games and not play. So he thinks he's still good enough to, you know, be a starter for somebody who gets in trouble. So I think he's waiting for somebody to lose their quarterback and then their starter and then sign him.
I.e. Joey Flacco.
Yeah, it's just exactly like that. So, you know, I could see, you know, if the Love gets hurt and the Packers know he's going to miss four games, they could probably, you know, as long as Tannehill's not signed by somebody else at that point, they could sign him. I think they could even just tell him, hey, look, you know, you play for us until Love comes back, and then we'll cut you and put you back out on the market again if you want. So they could do something like that. Otherwise, all these other guys are just retreads who are, you know, I can't imagine they would give the Packers any better chance to win than Clifford. Here's a couple of names of like number three quarterbacks with teams. I'll just throw these out there, and then we'll kind of go through them after I say them. So Houston's got Case Keenum and Davis Mills. Mills is their two. Keenum's their three. Denver has Zach Wilson as their three. The Giants have DeVito as their three. He beat the Packers last year. Arizona's three is Desmond Ridder. He beat the Packers early last year. I don't know. I threw Bailey Zappi's name on here too. He's the number four actually at New England. I don't know if he's, you know, if they would think he'd give him any better chance than Clifford. Any of those names intrigue you at all?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, the Case Keenum thing, that's the one. I mean, that's the kind of like the, you know, kind of like the Tannehill guy, right? He's been all over the place, never successful enough to stick and be the starter for a long period of time. But I like, again, it's just about, you get to that age, you figure it out, and like, listen, this—I'm a backup quarterback. My job is just not to lose games if my number is called, and And that's so I like that. I think the Zach Wilson kid, you know, there's something there. He's got some talent, but you know, you get stuck with the Jets and you pushed around a little bit. And, you know, I have a hard time seeing Denver get rid of him anyway. I just, you know, they got a rookie there and they got Stidham. If there is an issue, you know, and I don't see it as an injury issue, just the kid's struggling and they got to give him a break. That you got Stidham and then, you know, Wilson to kind of come back in possibly. But
I think maybe they would be willing to trade him because they have Stidham. There's wild guess. Neither knows. But yeah, I know you don't think they'd be disinclined, but I think they might do it. They hardly gave up anything for him. They did one of those trades where, you know, they got him and a 7 for a 6. So all they did was move back from the 6th to the 7th round to acquire him. I think a similar deal could probably, you know, slightly better deal could probably could maybe get him. I'm not sure if his confidence is shot or not, you know.
Yeah, the Ritter kid, I kind of like him.
Yeah.
Packers. You know, the DeVito kid, I just it's hard for me with him. But I like the Ritter kid. I kind of – he's intriguing. So those are the three guys that they got to probably be sitting here making some hard decisions of what they're going to do. And I'm sure there's phone calls made and, you know, figuring it out, what they're going to, you know, what's available. I think if you wait till Tuesday, some of these guys may disappear. Now, maybe not Keenum, but Zach Wilson, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say, but I guess all three of those guys I named, Ritter, Wilson, Keenum, those are guys that I believe are going to be better than Clifford. You know, and I know that people like Clifford because he runs around and reminds you of Favre a little bit. But here's the reality. Favre made plays. He had a cannon arm, and he could do stuff to make people – and he was also a competitor. And, Clifford can be a competitor, I guess. He you know, he's got the game – he's a gamer moniker. But I don't – he doesn't have a strong enough cannon, and – you know, I want his decision making stuff has got to get cleaned up if they're going to put him in an actual ball game. So I don't know. I guess Ritter probably. If you had to give me those three names, the kid I'd probably want to get first would be Ritter, or now in this order would be Ritter, Wilson, Keenum.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting next couple days here. Cuts are due Tuesday. Some of them are trickling out already. Some teams are, and I bet even some Packers picks or cuts might leak out tomorrow, but they're due Tuesday afternoon, and then by Wednesday, I think noon, the waiver claims come out. So there could be some big stuff in the offing between now and Wednesday with additions, trades, all that kind of stuff for the Packers. Let's we got a few minutes left here. Let's talk about a couple of positions on the Packers. One we really haven't talked about is, remember, you know, last year their safety position was, so I was talking with a scout last year at the end of the year. And I said, so what do you think of the Packers defense? And first thing he said was, well, they got to get some new safeties, and they've added basically three significant guys with McKinney and the two draft picks, Bullard and Williams. And so they've got, I mean, they look a lot better there, but even Anthony Johnson Jr., number 36, he showed up in the preseason games. He kind of jumped out to you just a little bit yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, he filled the run game pretty good. And you know, I think he blew a touchdown coverage that wasn't really good. I think he came down to the hook curl zone and he should have not have done that, but it ended up being a touchdown, you know. So, you know, you got to kind of scratch your head a little bit there on that. Maybe he's just trying to make a play and all these kind of things. You know, some weird stuff happens in preseason game number 3. But I like him. But I tell you, the Bullard kid and McKinney, I mean, those, and you throw in the Williams, talk about a significant upgrade at a position. I mean, holy cow, I can't remember a position group that they just completely upgraded overnight other than outside linebacker when they brought in – Preston Smith and Zadarius, you know, just an overnight change. And, you know, there's a lot there to like. You know, we get to see a lot of those guys in preseason, in the games, but in practice, you saw there's some good stuff there, and you know, with McKinney, certainly he's got the physical attributes. I mean, he's fast, he's quick, and he's been around a little bit. He can kind of, now he's kind of the leader of that. You know, he's the old man on the squad in that position group room. So you know, he could, you know, sometimes a change of scenery like that is really good for a vet. You know, to be able to guide a couple of the young guys there to do a nice job. And, you know, I think the surprise out of everything was the Williams. I mean, he's making plays all the time. He just shows up and, you know, he's a willing tackler and plays in the run game. And I think he's, you know, he's picking off plays all the time. So, that group certainly took a giant step to the right direction. That's for sure.
Yeah, Williams played well enough where they didn't even suit him up yesterday.
Yeah.
They sat 38 guys, and I don't know, I think only like six or seven of them were injury related, and they didn't even suit him up because they wanted to look at other guys, and they know this guy's going to play. I think he had five picks in camp, including in the 2-minute drill for the twos against the Ravens on Thursday, and he forced a fumble in the preseason opener against Cleveland. So he's going to play. They're going to find a way to get him on the field, at least like in some nickel situations or some dime situations. He's going to be out there. You know, I guess the one other guy I wanted to ask you about was Christian Welsh, the guy from Iola, Wisconsin, played at Iowa State, linebacker. He played over 200 special team snaps for the Packers last year. They picked him up during the season from the Ravens, actually. The Ravens cut him. What'd you make of that interception he made? And do you think that won him a roster spot?
That's a good question. I don't know, what I do know is if he played 200 plus snaps last year in specials, and made a bunch of special teams tackles in the preseason. I think he made the squad basically because he can play special teams probably more so than the interception.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah. I just wondered if maybe a play like that kind of locks things up because they, worst comes to worst, they feel okay about sticking him out there at linebacker if they had to.
Yeah, and they'd probably do, especially in the run game. He's a thumper. He's a thick body. You know, he's a 240 pounder, so he's definitely got some heft to him when he steps out on the field. So you like that. You know, and I think, you know, right behind the safety group, the linebacker really has taken a step up. You know, I'm really, really looking – now it's going to probably be a while before we see Edgerrin Cooper because of the injury. But, the other guy, I mean, the Hopper kid, that guy really, really, really impressed me. And some people, you know, say, well, you can say he was playing against threes and guys that were, you know, probably bottom third of the roster, but it's not what preseason's about. It's, you know, what I like about him is, you know, you pointed out last week, he ran a 4.6, but his field speed is different. And a lot of that is because of his fluid changing directions. I like the way he presses against the run. And when he gets there, he's able to engage his hips and make a tackle. And I like the way in pass drops, I really like the way he gets back into coverage and looks for first threat. And I wish I would have marked the play down, but there were, you know, he had multiple guys in his zone at one point in time, and he carried them up to the top of his zone and then made the switch down to the guy at the bottom of the zone, which is where a lot of guys, especially young guys, make that mistake. You stay too long at the top of the zone, and the guy underneath catches it for a first down. And you want that linebacker to buzz and get to the bottom of the zone there, and he did. You know, those are things that you don't show – that doesn't show up on a stat sheet. You know, so yeah. That's what the preseason is about when we're watching this, are people that have, you know, different skills that we want to make sure that they're good. And I really like it. You know, I think the McDuffie kid's probably got to be shaking in his boots a little bit that he's going to have some competition. That linebacker coach is a fire plug. Holy smokes. I mean, that guy is on fire all the time. And, you know, I think that's going to light him up with Quay Walker. We're going to be looking to see a little bit more out of Quay Walker because, you know, the knock on Quay Walker is that you run right at him because he's not really stout at the point of attack. You run away from him, that's probably a little bit of a mistake. And you know, if he's playing at that Mike position, he's going to play a lot of low hole. So that's that area around the hash marks. And a lot of times you're getting, especially if they're going to run cover two or two deep safeties, that guy's getting depth and it's pretty hard to throw over him. He's got those big long arms and it makes it difficult. So you really like that. I really like that linebacker position. It really looks like it could be, you know, a bright spot for the defense. I mean, there really isn't any holes. You know, the D line looks pretty good. Your defensive ends are, you know, those guys are good quality vets that you have there. You know, that Mosby guy. You know, I don't know. I honestly, I think he's probably a practice squad guy. But I mean, they dropped him back into coverage, picks off a play. You know, makes a big hit on the quarterback, you know. So there's always that one guy, right, in the preseason, the last game, makes the roster or at least gets himself hooked onto the practice squad, you know, because of something he did during that. And I think that's that kid, you know. Yeah. I really like him.
And look, you know, Mosby, he was showing up in practice some the last couple of weeks too. You know, he had some good pass rushes. Like, you noticed him a little bit out there. But I will say on the sack – he was unblocked. Now he did. He really good hit, knocked the ball away. That's a really good play. And even he said after the game on the drop, the quarterback threw it right to him. He said, "Yeah, it was a gift. Thank you," or something to that effect. It was a gift from the quarterback, and I thank him, I think is what he said. So it was pretty funny. But yeah, but he still caught the ball for a defensive end. That was pretty good. So I still don't think he makes the 53. But
I don't think he
looks like a practice squad guy. And you get a couple injuries, you know, he'd have to be in the rotation then.
Yep. You know, you got Cox out there too. It's really going to be a numbers game. How many guys they're going to keep, you know, if they're going to keep 10 O-linemen, 9 O-linemen. I mean, I think one year, a long time ago, I think they kept 8 O-linemen, which is really risky.
Yeah, that sounds right. You know, and I think they kept a bunch of guys in the practice squad, and that changes during the season.
Yeah, but I think that group there, the offensive line group, you know, I your guard center guards, which I think is the heart of your offensive line. I mean, those guys, I think they're as deep as they've been in a long time.
Yeah, but Jacob Monk, right, jumped out, and he looks like a legit – like, I wonder if he's going to be their starting center in 2025.
It very well could be. You got him and Ryan that you can plug in there and let those two battle it out, see who's going to be the guy. And you know, he's – here's the interesting thing about him. You look at him, and he's not a body beautiful guy. You know, he's not like his supreme looking athlete, but man, just a brawler. And I guess, you know, Josh Sitton wasn't one of those guys either. He certainly wasn't body beautiful, or Mark Towser. And they got a lot of miles out of guys that just are brawlers. They're just football players, just gritty guys. And that's what I see in that kid. Is he, you know, he does all the things that you want him to do, able to take a double team off of a three technique and bring or one technique and get up to a backer and not just get there and get run around, but get there and make contact and drive the ball. I mean, there were a couple of times where the running back was able to cut off a block that he made on the second level. And that's, you know, that's what's really important for that guy at the center position, is being able to get up to the second level and be effective. You know, it's really getting to the second level is one thing, but you got to be effective. I think you can play him at guard, you play him at center, you're a good spot there. You know, we know the tackle position, but here's the reality with that is let's say you lose a tackle. Let's say, you know, you lose your right or left tackle. You can always slide Jenkins out.
That's what I'm sure that's what they would do. And if Jenkins out there, if Ryan's their starter at guard, they put Morgan in at guard. So those two are the guards. And, you know, if the center got hurt, they could also put Jenkins at center. Maybe they'd even put Monk in there. I don't know. Probably not.
I think they'd go with Ryan. He's a brawler too, you know. But he's a little bit bigger body, a little bit more of a picturesque, if that's a word for a guard. But, you know, generally, you know, you want a guy in there that's a little grit, a little bit of something there. And he's kind of that guy. And I really like the way he played. I thought jumped out to me a little bit against the Denver too, but yesterday was, it's some of that is okay. I know they're playing threes, but You know, if you're playing threes and you're not dominating a guy who's somebody's three, well, then you're not very good yourself. So, you know, that's what you're grading. How good is this guy versus a guy who's in a similar position? I think he's going to be okay. The tackle spot, they're probably a little bit light there, and they're going to probably – that spot might rotate a little bit as the year goes on.
Yeah, another draft for a tackle next year. So we're less than 2 weeks away from the opener.
Thank God.
Week from Friday in Brazil. Eagles are 2.5-point favorites, right, at least as of right now. What do you make of that?
I'm shocked by that. I'll be honest with you.
Would you think it would be more?
I think the Packers they got a pretty good club. And I think a lot of teams are probably going to – or a lot of people are going to be surprised. I mean, offensively, boy, if I'm a D coordinator, I guess the only thing that you can really try to load up and take away is the run game. But they got enough guys that can run around behind you that scare the heck out of you. You know, if Watson's still available and you got in the one guy that I think, unless something bad happens and this guy has a sophomore slump, but I am really excited to see Reed out there and play. I think he is just a really good football player, and he's versatile. And we saw that last year. His numbers last year were as good as – and he was – his numbers as a rookie were not much different from the guy over in Minnesota that everybody's slobbering about. You know, I really like what he does, and I think that his sky's the limit for him. They're going to get opportunities to run jet sweeps with him. They're going to run screens. He's going to run down the field. And they got a possession receiver in Dobbs, and they got a the guy who scares you a little bit with Watson. And not only that, you got a big giant tight end and another tight end that give him the ball, and he kind of makes things happen. So I'm a D coordinator. I'm looking at this club, and I'm thinking the only thing that we can take away that we can probably be successful at taking away is the run game. But, man, I don't know if I'm going to devote seven guys to take away the run with those receivers and tight ends.
Well, I think we've run out of time here, Eric, so better wrap this up. It goes fast. Just want to say thanks. Yes. I just want to say thanks to everybody for downloading.
Right, and here's the other thing. I promise everybody, the amount of time we spoke about kickers today, we will never, through the course of the season, never even get close to talking to that amount of time about a kicker.
Careful what you say. You never know.
I won't do it. I'll just turn it off. You can do this. I'm not.
I'll do a monologue then. How's that? All right. Well, we'll wrap it up here. Again, thanks to everybody for downloading us. Glad you think that we're worth your time. And a reminder, we'll be back with you. It'll be 2 weeks from now after the Packers game against the Eagles in Brazil. This is the real stuff. The games are for real from here on out. So lots of interesting things coming ahead. So look for us then, and look for all the
people. Yeah. Enjoy your Labor Day. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. Go catch a high school game and watch your favorite college team and start simmering for the Eagles.
Yeah, long football season ahead of us. So I guess until we're back in a couple of weeks, for Eric, I'm Pete. You've been listening to the After Further Review podcast. Take care, everybody.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.